At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news.
Yo, 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 Patreon subscribers, we are here. Actually, free feed subscribe people, we are here too, but we'll be here for y'all Monday morning when we're in traffic to Lake Forest. You'll be listening to this or watching this on YouTube. But for all of y'all who subscribe to the Barber's Chair Patreon, you will listen to this on Sunday, July 30th, 2023. It's your boy, Scott and Flows. You know to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Barber Chair Scott, at Flows Andolini. Follow the pod at 79th and Hallis on Twitter. Follow the Barber's Chair Network on Twitter and IG at Barber's Chair Net. And in peak Barber's Chair fashion, Flows does not have his phone on silent. But at least you didn't hear the vibration this time. We are here. 1 week of training camp is in the books. I am exhausted beyond measure. How about you? How are you feeling?
I'm all right. I'm interested to see when the pads come on. I think that's August 1st.
Yes, no, it's Wednesday the 2nd.
Wednesday. So a few more, you know, walkthrough practices before things really, really start to take off. So, I'm cool. It's cool. It's interesting, though, because right now you're in that sort of intermediate period where you don't really get to see what's happening for real, for real. And you know, it's not the players doing or the coaches doing or even organization. That's just NFL rules. You know what I'm saying? Things need to be slow because you don't have the pads to move at full speed. It's cool.
Yeah, I pressed the wrong button. But anyway.
Yeah, I saw you taking me out. I'm like, what's going on? But
I feel like we saw it. I feel like the first couple practices we saw more. I feel like the last we weren't at Saturday, by the way. We both had things to do, so we weren't at Saturday practice. But I was at every practice this week outside of Saturday, and I feel like the first two practices we saw more, but Friday was really like an OTA type of joint. You know what I'm saying? And Flew said that was by design. He said that they were, you know, in a ramp up period. And they were really trying to, you know, not go too fast and get anybody injured or, you know, have these players like, you know, running out of steam in just the first week of camp. And also, it was like 120 degrees outside on Friday. And the thing about it was it wasn't as bad during practice. It was terrible at the end of practice. Like the walk to the car was god awful.
Yeah.
But the actual practice, they were on fields 3 and 4 on Friday. So we were able to move around. So I was on field 3 majority of the practice. But I feel like, you know, just in the first couple of days, man, from what we've seen, I like what I see on the offensive side.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to say. I enjoy what I'm seeing. I love to see Justin's patience. I love to see him start to find his receivers by scanning the field. And also, more importantly than that, it's taking the first read that's there, not making sure like, oh, they're open, you know, because you don't have the presence of Olave and Garrett Wilson with you now. And you realize I'm in the NFL. Things are faster. Things are different. I can't wait till the person gets open and seeing him do that. And then, of course, seeing him trust DJ Moore, of course, was the biggest thing. Throwing to DJ Moore, knowing that more than likely he's going to catch it. So I love that. And then seeing Cole Kmet really come into – I feel like he's starting to come into his own, you know, as a tight end. He seems confident. He's making some great routes. And I see him, even though it's just drills, but putting his effort into blocking. So now the culmination is Wednesday, when them pads go on. Monday, Tuesday is going to be cool, you know, but, man, I'm just waiting for Wednesday.
Yeah, the pads separate the boys from the men. That's when we'll really see what's going on. And that's really kind of be what we'll have more of an evaluation, man. But I agree with everything you said. You know, first thing, you know, one thing I love about training camp, and I mean this in the absolute most sarcastic way possible, is people who are not at camp trying to tell us what we saw at camp. That's like my favorite thing to see. Not that I'm saying that I don't understand. Of course, we all as fans are excited, especially this time of year. It's the exciting time of year. It's, you know, a new season. You know, everybody's optimistic. Every NFL team right now, every fan base is optimistic. So, you know, this is something to me where it's like I get it where you're coming from, but it's also like I'm gonna need y'all to chill out a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like I need you to relax and. I feel like, you know, it's kind of one of those things where I don't want to be that guy who's like, oh, I'm on the media side now, so I know more than y'all. I'm not saying this. I went on like a little mini rant on this. I don't know if it was Friday. I think it was Friday. I'm pretty sure it was Friday. In like the middle of the night, I had a rant about it. I saw some fan tweets that kind of like pissed me off. But I feel like Bears fans, maybe, and this is probably all sports fans. This is 9 times out of 10, not just Bears fans. I'm pretty sure this is every fan base in the history of every sports league ever. I'm pretty sure that's the case. Having said all that, we mainly interact with Bears fans. So we get this on a daily. Now, Bears fans want every update to be positive. They want every update to be super descriptive. You know, and they'll get on you if they did. Now, I'll put it like this. I used to think, too, that certain Bears beat members were anti-Bears or anti-team. Then I started covering the team, and I don't think that's the case. I really don't. I think that also what you also got to put into effect, too, is when you're a fan, you're optimistic about a lot of stuff because that's what fans do. You're supposed to be optimistic. What's the point of being a fan if you're not going to be optimistic? I get that. But if I was covering this, I know how much this team has been lousy as a fan for basically 30 years of rooting for this franchise. I can only imagine if it was my job to cover this team for 20 plus years or whatever, and you don't see that much success, I would probably be jaded too. So I get that. And Bears fans is just they just want to hop on whoever when the update is a positive. And I just feel like that's kind of crazy. Like on Friday, we said that it was a slow practice by design. Mm-hmm. And shout out to Dan Weeder, because I was sitting right next to him. Like literally right next to him when he tweeted that. And I saw everybody on the feed on the Twitter Bears Twitter. Just going in on Dan. So I asked Dan right now. I was like, look, I asked him as soon as that. I was like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how bad are your mentions right now? And he just started dying laughing. Like, well, you see, I try to tweet periodically now, but it doesn't really matter. And I tweeted almost the same thing. Like, okay, it was boring today, but also it's 115 degrees outside, and I think this was done on purpose. And it's just the reaction was crazy. And so it's kind of like, you know, I get it, but it's like, relax, dude. Like, people just trying to do their jobs. You know what I'm saying? People just trying to paint a picture. And honestly, there's not really that much to take from this week outside of, okay, it looked good. But these are also 7-on-7s. These are individual drills. There's not really too much to really cover about that.
No, that's facts. Shout out my boy Dan Weeder, bro. I'm not gonna tolerate your Dan Weeder slander. That's my boy. And then you just have to understand that.
I like Dan Weeder. He's a cool guy. I'm sorry.
Yeah, like you have to understand, we're there. We're there. And Dan has been doing this for years. But on top of that, he was telling them the objective truth. But of course, you know, fans don't want to hear that. Everything needs to be
beautiful. They want to hear that Justin Fields is looking like Patrick Mahomes, DJ Moore is looking like Randy Moss, the defense looks like the 2000 Ravens, and Flus looks like the second coming of Don Shula. That's what they want to hear.
That's basically what they want. And it's sometimes it's... That's just not what happens. It's like, yeah, I thought Justin did great these first. I mean,
I was impressed from what I saw.
You know, it went from last year, like, oh, okay, the kids getting better to me saying, yeah. Oh no, I'm impressed. Yeah. Like ball placement ridiculous, pacing's ridiculous. But I can still say in the next play, oh, he got picked off. So I think
and he only threw two picks this week, if that matters to those who care about 7-on-7 interceptions.
If there's one thing I've learned is through being a Bears fan over the years is these are grown men. I don't have to baby them.
Yes.
I don't have to say, well, you know, just give them some time. I saw that with Falcons fans, and I've seen that with Colts fans. With Falcons fans, half of them are saying, show me the QB. I'm not seeing Desmond Ridder on the videos. So I wonder if Falcons, whatchamacallit, Scott pressing the wrong button again. I wonder if
I actually wasn't pressing the wrong button. I was actually trying to see how to, like, if somebody's talking, how I can go to that window. I'm prepping for I'm not going to hold you. I was doing the same time. Continue. It worked. Anyway.
But I'm seeing, I'm seeing Falcons fans in the mentions of writers who are covering the Falcons. Like when they post videos of receivers catching passes, you never see the QB. You're like, show the QB. And people are like, oh, another half are like, oh, Ridder, you know what I'm saying? He actually put it in a good spot, even though the pass was terrible. He actually was a good spot. It wasn't like you thought it was. So you should actually give him this, that, and the third. Copping, please. And the same thing with Anthony Richardson. It's like, oh, man, this kid's going to be special. Nothing. This is incredible. Have you ever seen somebody throw that? I'm like, he could be. He could be. But you don't have to baby him. You don't have to make him seem like he can do no wrong. You don't have to make him seem like,
I want to be very clear about this when it comes to this. I agree with you on one point, but also we know it's having Mitchell David Trubisky as our quarterback.
That was my point. That was my point.
If you don't have at least one or two highlights from 7-on-7s and solo workout, that boy stinks. And shout out to Steve Smith. Who throwing the ball? Who throwing the ball? It's the point where Falcons fans ain't even arguing. They're like, well, yeah, this nigga might stink.
You know what I'm saying? And my thought is it's okay. It's literally okay. There's no reason to get upset about it. And if he's good, he's good. If he's not, he's not. And so that has been my approach with Justin. And as of now, I'm enjoying what I'm seeing. I'm seeing somebody who looks confident. I'm seeing somebody who has a grasp of the offense more. And I'm seeing somebody who has people around him who he trusts, who he can throw the pass to. So in that regard, that's all I'm doing is just saying, yeah, let's get it. Let's get it cracking. So, you know, Bears fans are delusional, but all fans are delusional.
They are, 100%. Shout out my man, Randy Wilkins. He was like, all fans are delusional. I'm like, you're right. But I deal with these people every day. Like, and it's to the point where it's like I said I wasn't going to cuss out Bears fans and shit. And I'm going to stick to it because, honestly, I've been doing better with my Twitter reactions, not just with 79 Hallows, but the idiots who come to my personal page. And I like I used to tell my brother last year, I try to be professional with 79th Hallis. You come into, you step into the barb chair Scott ring, my personal page. And granted, you're liable to get whatever. But I don't even have the energy for that anymore. So it's kind of like what you said, like, yes, these are grown men playing football. You're also grown men watching football. And it's like, after a while, some of y'all need to relax. And I've seen this too at the practice when I was moving around to field 3. Some grown folks moving kids out the way to watch football. It's like, nigga, chill out. Let the kids watch. Let the kids see, you know, the players. You're a grown man. You know what I'm saying? Chill out. Let's have more grown expectations. And maybe I'm asking too much from sports fans. I'm probably asking too much from sports fans. I'm aware of that. But to wrap this whole little part up, let media people do our job. I know y'all say we're part of the establishment now, you know, but it is what it is. Let people do their job. We're not lying about things like that. We'll have more for y'all this week when the pass go on. And if Justin looks huff in the practice, I'm gonna tell you he look huff. It's year 3. We ain't gotta be like, this is make or break. You usually know what your guy is by year 3.
Yeah.
If you go through 3 years and you still like, oh well, if you still do this, the boy stink. It's just that simple. And so from what we've seen, I've liked what I saw. I think the most impressive thing I saw this week was the zip of his passes. One of my main concerns last year was he didn't get the ball out fast enough. Like, he looked. It's kind of like a nigga who played Madden, and you throw the ball there, you definitely going to get intercepted. Mm-hmm. And so, timing. And I saw, remember, some media members last year, their problem was, oh, is he throwing the ball late? He needs to throw it. He needs to have anticipation throws. And I'm like, you're not having anticipation throws when you're throwing the Walgreens clerks. Like, he's got actual wide receivers now. And we've seen that with DJ Moore. Mm-hmm. Now with Chase Claypool, it's going to be slower because, you know, he's, you know, the pup situation, which is very funny when he addressed the media this week because he really didn't answer anything. He didn't answer anything. Jalen Johnson was very playful with the media on Friday, even though I kind of took that as he was uncomfortable and didn't want to answer questions about his contract extension. And I even think Courtney Crone asked a question about did he hire an agent? And he was like, yes. And she's like, who are you with? Well, you can Google it. Like, nigga, answer, like, you already said you got an agent. So either you got some fake type of agent situation like Roquan, or you don't have an agent. Like, which one is it? So I had that. Claypool didn't really answer the pup question, but he's coming in slow. Darnell Mooney's coming in slow. So we haven't really seen the full complement yet. And from what I saw, DJ Moore is going to be his emergency weapon. He's going to be – I didn't know how good of a route runner DJ was, and I think it's going to be a great combination already. Like I said, we still got to see how it is in the game.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's interesting with players, and I'm not sure if it's just a Bears thing or if it's a just the players and their comfortability asking questions that may be a little bit more – not controversial, but just like sticky situation. And I just kind of got used to it. You know, I'm not going to get what I want to hear, get what I want to get out of them and their questions. And that's fine. It is, whatever. I'm not going to make a big deal out of it.
We know 9 times out of 10, they don't want to speak to us. No, I 100% get that.
And I get it. Your job as an NFL player is not to be a master interviewee and to answer questions. Your job is to play football. You know, and I mean, when you start off football when you're a kid and you're playing in Pop Warner in high school, you don't answer questions to the media. You know what I'm saying? You may do a little interview after, like, if you're in Illinois, High School Lights. We used to do it back in the day. You know, High School Lights exist. The cold players get a little cool interview. And it's cool because you just do it maybe every couple games after a big game, after you won, and that's it. You call it a day. Then you get to college and you're in this college atmosphere and – you know, you still have to, you have to respect the rules of the team even more so than you do in the NFL. And you answer questions, but it's never as visible as this. Like, for as good as Alabama is, if you're a freaking player, you know, if you're good as Alabama is, that's Alabama. If you're a player at North Dakota State, yeah, you'll have media, but the whole world won't pay attention as much. You know what I mean? So if you ask a question wrong, somebody has to randomly find it for it to be an issue. Then you get to the NFL and so, nope, you're required. You have to do this, you have to do that, you're going to be fined. You have to do this. You have to have so many more questions. Your life is under a microscope, and this is so much more than people are, in, so much more than the average human is used to. And most of them want to just say hoop. Niggas want hoop. They want to go home. So
yeah,
I don't blame them for not wanting to address the media. However,
especially during camp, because they also have like hours of meetings after practice.
And I will say, the people who – it's like once a week you interview people. You talk to the media. So, it's not the worst thing. Because I'm not – you're still a millionaire with money. I'm not going to go, oh, my God, the poor millionaire. That's always going to be my default, too. But, you know, I get it. But I also say, just answer it.
Speaking of millionaire, Cole Kmet, first day at camp. My brother still yet to be in the Walter Payton Center. Ridiculous. Which is hilarious.
4 years.
Four years still not been in the Walter Payton Center. The first practice of camp was Wednesday in the Walter Payton Center because of bad air quality in Lake Forest. The bad air quality that took me out on Thursday. Messed me up. Had my allergies flaring. I feel a lot better today, though. A lot better today. I'll be ready to go tomorrow, but they moved it to the Walter Payton Center for that, and also because last minute it was a storm that I got caught in on the expressway heading there, and we had to take a shuttle from the Abbott parking lot over to the Walter Payton Center. And right as camp started, news broke: Ian Rappaport, Cole Kmet signs a 4-year, $50 million extension with the Bears. $32 million of it guaranteed, and I was wondering why he was smiling so much on the field, and now I understand. If I was given $50 million, I would be smiling like an idiot too. This is a big one because I didn't know this is the first Bears extension since Tariq Cohen. long time since we've had a Bears player have an extension. And this is also the first extension that Ryan Poles has handed out. And this is big news because, one, like you just said not too long ago, Cole Kmet's coming into his own.
Yeah.
He was real big in that little 6 to 7 week span where the Bears were leading the NFL in points. He was, I think he was number 3 or 4 in touchdowns among tight end last year. And he's really coming to his own. That's one thing I've seen also in camp this week. He's been progressing. So you got that. And what also stood out to me is this is a guy who wasn't drafted by Ryan Poles. There was a lot of conversation. Would he bring back a Cole Kmet or Jalen Johnson because he didn't draft them? But this is something where it proves that if you're going to do your job, that Ryan Poles is going to give you a deal no matter if Ryan Pace drafted you or not. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big thing. And even Ryan Poles said that in his press conference that when the players came up to him, like, man, you just put, you know, a battery in our back. Like, we know that, you know what I'm saying, if we do our thing, we can get our money too. And I think that was big. And I think it's cool too because you can see the core players who care about. And one thing I've always said about the Bears and the history of the Bears, at least since I've been a fan, they're not a cheap organization. They just a lot of times spend money at the wrong players, but they have never, honestly, in my time, been cheap. So it's just good to see Cole Kmet get awarded, and I'm really excited for what he's going to do this season.
And I agree. I think he really came into his own in the season. His confidence, you knew it was there. You saw what he did in college. But for some players, it just takes time for them to become who they are. And to see him really come into his own, realize I'm a guy, I can do these things, I thoroughly enjoyed. It kind of reminds me, I remember like Travis Kelce's first year with the Chiefs. I don't know if he was injured in 2013. I have to remember carefully. I think he had an injury. Then that first year, he started to really ramp up. He had like 800 some yards. Next year, he had like 700 yards. Then that third year, he became the Travis Kelce you know. And I'm pretty sure since then, or just about, he's had 1,000 yards every season. I'm correct. So, yeah, that third year, 1,000 yards every season since then. And it's not that it took him 3 years because the first year was an injury, but it took time for him to become that's the guy. He's going to be open every time. He's going to get you 80 to 110 receptions every year. And, of course, Cole Kmet is not him. I won't even say that or give him some nickname or nothing, but Cole Kmet took some time to understand who he was. But part of that was also the people around him. He found – Justin found, like, favor within him. Like, okay, I can throw to this kid. And he went from, like, 200 yards his first year, 2 touchdowns. 600 the next year, no touchdowns. So those last games, he's getting 500, 600-some yards, 7 touchdowns. And that is the progression that I want to see. And he becomes a security blanket for Justin. And if there's one thing my friend Tony, who was a tight end in high school and college, said, tight ends are always open. They're always open. You people ask, like, man, Travis Kelce is not that fast or that quick. How is he open? They're always open.
That's a good point. Tight ends are always open. It's just a matter of can they catch.
Literally.
And you know, you bring up the camaraderie or the chemistry between Justin and Cole. I'd do you one better. I think it started earlier than that. Mid-season 2021, Justin's rookie year, the game we was at Monday Night Football against Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I think that's low-key where it started, and it got slower and slower from there. There was even a clip, and you tweeted it out on the 79th Hallis account like a day or two after the game where they were talking after the game like, yo, we close, bro. Like, we ain't get this one, but we close. We just got to keep the chemistry up. And that's kind of what it's been. And also what I saw on Friday was a lot more Robert Tonyan. And I saw a lot of tight end sets, and I'm really excited about that too. Two-headed monster right there. And I think once everything comes together and Darnell Mooney's at full speed, Chase Claypool's at full speed. Claypool had a big practice on Friday. I think this is going to be the best offense we've seen since the 2013 Bears. With first year with Tressman, Jay, B. Marsh, Forte, Martellus, and I'm missing somebody. Alshon.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think is going to be the best, biggest one since then. And even like stuff, some other stuff I saw, like, you know, God forbid, nobody wants Justin Fields to be injured. But if Justin got hurt for like and he had to miss like 2 or 3 games, I'm perfectly fine with PJ Walker being the backup. We both said when the signing happened, that was a quality signing, but he had a couple deep balls in practice this week. Looked pretty good. Now, he got picked off last 2 days. Like, Tremaine Edmonds was on his head the last two games, last two practices. But that looked good. Tyler Scott
is going to be a guy.
Tyler Scott, to me, is the reason why Claypool and Mooney need to be going, are going to be going head-to-head, because both of them niggas are not coming back. And honestly, I love Mooney a lot. This is my, I don't know, see if you agree with me or not with this from your football perspective. I think that Bears fans should want Claypool to be better than Mooney because Claypool is a bigger guy. And I think he's a better possession wide receiver than Darnell Mooney. What do you think about that?
Say it again.
I think Bears fans should want Claypool to have a better year than Mooney. And I think Claypool, if he's focused, is a better wide receiver because he's bigger, he's a better possession wide receiver.
I'm going to be honest. I think they're about average. I think Darnell Mooney's the only person who has had a thousand yard season.
Didn't he have that his rookie year, Claypool?
No.
Oh, okay.
Chase Claypool's never had 1,000 yards in a season, whereas Darnell Mooney has. I'm probably still going to go Darnell Mooney. But at the same time, you have the size of Claypool. You know, right now, it seems like the optimal size for a wide receiver is like 6'1", 6 feet, 6'1", because you get more quickness, you get more speed. It's rare that you get someone 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", who can run like Calvin Johnson or Randy Moss. So you look for the smaller players because it's tab size. Darnell Mooney tends to not get as much separation. So it may be damn near even, but I'm down with either one of them beating each other out for that contract or that spot. So whatever makes the Bears better, that's all I care about.
Yeah, I agree with that too. I was just saying who I feel like will be a fit better. But also this comes with Claypool if he's focused. And I've never had a question with that with Darnell Mooney. Focus has never been a question with Darnell Mooney ever. But yeah, that's just some stuff I saw at camp. Now, as we kind of like get to the last topic of today, because you know this training camp recap pod ain't gonna be that long. But what do you want to see from the team next week, this coming week, when they do get in pads?
It's not that what I want to see. I'm gonna look for everything that I'm looking for, which is how does Justin look? Because that's my biggest concern. I do want to see the trench warfare, you know what I'm saying? So I want to see the line does, what Darnell Wright does, Tevin Jenkins, all of them. I want to find out how they're doing. So really trench warfare and Justin, because I'm confident in DJ Moore. I'm looking forward to seeing how Tariq Stevenson, he's looked good. But I'm looking forward to seeing what he
got cooked the last two practices.
Yeah, you know, he's a rookie.
Which I love, though. Throw him into the fire.
Yeah, throw him into the fire. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what all of them do when you have some speed up. And then, of course, you're going to ramp up to preseason. I don't think we'll be at a preseason game because don't care. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to just the ramp up. Everything we saw, but take it to the next level. Monday and Tuesday, I'm guaranteeing Tuesday is going to be more of a walkthrough day because the players are going to have to be prepared to, you know, get beat up when they're in pads. And then it's from then on, it's every 3 days, it's an off day. So I'm expecting Monday to be a solid practice, Tuesday to be slower, and then Wednesday is when shit hits the fan. Thursday, it's off. There's an off day. Friday is when shit comes back again, but I won't be there. Scott will be there. So
Thursday's an off day.
Yeah.
Where do you see that at? I'm not disagreeing with you. I just didn't see it.
Scott is one of the people who does not trust
anything. No, I ain't got to trust. I didn't know that.
August 3rd, off day, no availability.
Actually, you are correct. You know, I know you're correct. I put the entire schedule in my phone, and there's nothing on August 3rd. You are correct, my guy. Did not know that.
And also, this week, for anybody interested, you're going to hear from Hightower, Eva Flus, and Getsy Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
What, they just emailed you that?
No, it's just on the training camp schedule, brother.
Text that to me. I didn't.
You already have it. You just got to look at it. It's way back months ago.
You still can't. You okay? All right.
I'm not gonna do it, brother. Okay. Then of course the Family Fest is
gonna be an asshole.
The Family Fest is Sunday. Not going.
I have zero plans of going to Family Fest.
Yeah, that's cool. You know what I'm saying? But yeah. And then next week will be the ramp up week. But yeah, sad to say, I'm just looking for the speed of everything to ramp up. So.
I'm looking for the training camp schedule in my phone, which I don't know if they sent it to me because maybe they wouldn't. I wasn't on the email. Just see and send that to me. I would appreciate it if you text that to me. Anyway, what I'm looking to this week, I want to know how Justin looks when it's actually people rushing at him. That's what I want to see, number one. Number two, I want to see the offensive line. I want to see both lines. I want to see how the D line is looking. I want to see how the O line is going to look. Because this is when it gets to me, the question marks here.
Mm-hmm.
What are the trenches going to look like? The battle is won in the trenches. The two teams made the Super Bowl last season. We're top in the trenches, offensive line and defensive line. That's what I'm going to be looking at. What's Darnell Wright going to look like? What's Nate Davis looking like? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's all that going to look like? So that's more what I'm looking forward to this week. The more the nitty gritty, like you said, the first 2 days will probably be, you know, warm ups, getting the body prepared, and then Wednesday we get right to it, man. So that's pretty much what I'm be looking forward to this week.
Yes, sir.
So that's all we got for y'all. Nice 30-minute training camp recap pod. We'll be dropping these weekly during camp. And then we'll be on to one preseason game. The first one
is here, right?
Yes, it is here. Yeah. It's August 12th against the Tennessee Titans. They have another one that's on the road.
It's the Colts.
Indianapolis, and then the final week is against the Bills, but I don't even know if starters are going to play that game. It doesn't matter because I won't be there. So that's all we got for y'all today. Like I said, if you are not a Patreon subscriber, subscribe to the Patreon. Because everything's going to be dropping on the Patreon first. Our daily recap vid, shout. We got a couple subscribers last week, so keep doing that, man. We appreciate y'all. So you know how to follow us on Twitter and Instagram, at Barbershare Scott, at Flo Zandolini, at BarbersChairNet. And yeah, man, we'll holler at y'all in a couple of days. So we out of here. 7 nights at Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for